So today is going to be a very special episode because I'm here with Francis that you all know from all of the videos and you want to get to know better. Also, to give a little context, we're right now sitting in Paris in Francis's apartment on his couch. We both have a little hot drink in front of us. There's a television playing like a hot fire, so we're feeling cozy and warm. So let's start into this episode with Francis. When did you know that you wanted to become a circus artist?
My first time was when my parents brought me to this Cirque du Soleil show. It was in Canada. And it was Corteo, Cirque du Soleil show. And I remember seeing so many beautiful things in it. There were some aerials, acts. I remember loving the chandelier act. And going out of this show, I thought, wow, this is just so beautiful what I've seen. I would love to do that in my life.
Wow, and how old were you then?
That's a good question. I think I was maybe 9 or 10, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so quite young. And did you already do gymnastics at that time, or did you start doing gymnastics after that?
Yes, so I was a very physical children. I was doing some martial arts. Then I was doing some horse riding on the countryside. And then I did some gymnastics. I did that for quite a few years. And as I was doing that and I saw this show, I thought, wow, it seems like they're just next level of what I'm doing. And what I'm doing already is very passionate. So, yeah.
So at that time, did you know that there was a circus school where you could learn all of this?
Actually, after watching the show, I went back home and I went on internet, and internet was a big thing at the time because it just started. So it was something huge to be able to go and research about a subject. And so I did a research about circus, like what is the circus around the world, where does it exist, and are there schools out there? And then I realized there was this big school in Montreal, in Canada, my country. Then I thought, wow, this is so amazing. There was like this big school right next to where I live. Like it was 2 hours away from my hometown because I come from the countryside. And then I did some research about it and I looked at what are the tests to get into school and everything. And then I just decided to get ready for the auditions.
Do you remember how much time you had from the moment that you like found out the school existed and then when you did the auditions?
I think there was like a 1 year. It was because I remember seeing that the audition had just taken place and that the next one would be in 1 year. And then I thought, wow, this isn't a long time. Also, I didn't mention it to my parents yet at the time. So, I mean, there were many steps, but and looking at the everything that you had to learn for the audition, like doing the splits, doing like there were some musculation exercise and tests. And I thought, okay, well, I think having a year is good so that I get well prepared.
Okay, so I know that you did the school as the high school program. So in the circus school, the Montreal Circus School is also the school I did. And this is where we met, but we'll get to that later. But I did the formation that's after school. So yeah, I finished my whole high school program and then I did it more like a Ausbildung afterwards. But Francis did it actually as high school. Was there like something that was different about that or something specific to that?
We were like, I remember we were, I think, 100 people doing the auditions, and it was on 3 days, I think. So what was different is that just a very little amount of people were kept at the end. So from my audition, I think we were 4 people. Yeah, only at the end. So, and that was the thing. Also, getting at the school, seeing how many people were there, and I actually went with my dad, and he said he didn't tell me right away, but he told me years after. He said, like when we got there and he saw how many people were there, he was like, "All right, this is gonna be an experience for Francis. He's gonna try for his dream." And I mean, but there's just so many people, like. Like he didn't really believe it, but he wanted to give me a chance and to try it. not knowing how much determination I had and how well I was prepared.
Exactly, because the whole preparation, you did it by yourself?
I did a full preparation. Like, I'm very organized, you know? Like even nowadays, like, in the dressing room, we have the line, my set is organized, you're a bit more messy. But I've always been very organized. And for this, like, I remember I printed the paper with what did I have to do at the auditions. And at school, every lunchtime, I would go to this musculation room that we had at school, and I would just practice everything I had to do. At night, I would practice my splits. In the morning, I would wake up and go run because it was part of the test, and I was doing everything. And there was even like a dance test. There was going to be a dance test. So sometime at night, I would just put some music and try to do some moves or stuff. So I got well prepared. And so to come back at the audition day, so it was on few days. And first day, we would do like theater. We would do acrobatics, which I could do because of gymnastics. And at the end of the day, there were those big screens they would put in the cafeteria. And then they said, all right, if your number is on the screen, you are asked to come back tomorrow. And if not, this is the end for you. And then I remember seeing with my dad, all right, okay, so they kept Francis, so we're going to come back. And as the audition went, it got more and more difficult. I remember there were some acting tests and some dance tests, and where there would be, like, the judges would be sitting at a table and they look at you and they're like, all right, we're putting a music now. Everyone is looking at you. It's just you alone. And go, dance, man, make it great, you know? And I mean, when you've never done that in your life, I remember that moment because I was not used to that, like, ever. I've never done that before. And I thought, all right, just, Francis, just give everything. And I think I might have been like a bit over, like too much, probably too much, but I just gave it all. And I think they probably saw that and they were like, all right, this one is is really into it. So, and yeah, I just remember I've been dancing like I've never danced before.
Wow. It's so interesting because I remember the auditions when I did them. They were probably kind of the same because we had the same thing. It was over 4 days. There was the numbers on the screen. First day was like the musculation and the stretching and then dance and acting and all of that. When you had to do the auditions again later because you did like the high school, then, I mean, obviously you got accepted and then you had to do auditions. Were they the same? Was it the same feeling and the same situation, or was it completely different when you went the second time?
The second time, there was more pressure because I was already part of the school. So if I was not going to be accepted a second time, that was kind of a failure also, because if you're learning at school and you're not accepted to continue, it's actually very big. But it was much more physical because for the high school program, also I had some class tests, so like mathematics. And I remember there was like this general knowledge question. So it was about like the, what was it, like the Oscars. So who won and who's this and who's that? And I was like, how am I supposed to know that? But it was just like general knowledge. And yeah.
Super interesting. So when you do the high school program, you do obviously circus training, but you also have like normal school classes. If somebody was like, for example, not good in normal school, would they then also not get accepted to the high school program? Or was it not so important, like how good you were in English and math and all of those things?
Well, you had to have a good level, but also we had like a teacher for a very small amount of people. So even if there was a difficulty, I know some people had some difficulty and they still got accepted. But I mean, you had to have a minimum. So it's kind of, yeah, it goes in both sides. So, and also, you know, in Canada, you can decide to do like hard maths or less hard maths and science or no science as you go towards the end of high school. And so even if I was in circus school, I did all of that. So it's not because you're in circus school that you don't, like, you cannot do good studies.
Yeah. Cool. Were there any international students there with you as well at that time, or wasn't the high school only Canadian students?
No, there were some international students, but not so many. And I mean, maybe two. You know, in my class, we were six, and we were the biggest class. So, you know, there is a high school 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And from my class, we were six. And so that, like, usually you would be like, I don't know, 30 people. I think we were all, we were all from Quebec. There was this guy who came from Cirque du Soleil also. He had been touring with his family. And then he came to Montreal because his family got more based and they wanted him to keep studying circus and go to school at the same time. So he was from international, but high school is very much for, more Canadian people from Quebec, yeah.
Because also, like, all of this has been, this is like a long time ago, like this was in the early mid-2000s, right? Like, do you remember what year you started there?
Yeah, it was in 2008 that I started, that I went to Montreal for the first time. And it was a big thing because I came from the countryside, like, for my family, for my friends, for everybody, just like having someone leaving the countryside. And I came from a farm also, and being like, yeah, Francis is going to Montreal, he's going to live in Montreal and go for a circus school. People were like, what? But at the same time, people knew about Cirque du Soleil. It's something very strong in Canada. And they knew what to expect from circus. Cirque du Soleil is basically the picture someone would have of circus in Canada. So saying, like, I'm going to go and do circus, this is the first thing that comes to your mind. So it didn't sound like a bad thing, but it was sure very special.
Yeah, very different. Especially also because you were still really young. Like, you moved away from your parents' place, moving into your own kind of place, or like living with other people, then going full time to school. How old were you when you started doing the high school?
I was 15. And during my first months at the school, I was living with a sewer from Cirque du Soleil. So I stayed with her. In the morning, we would take the car, go to school, because right in front of the National Circus School, there is Cirque du Soleil, the big industry buildings. And so she would leave me at school and then go to her job. And as I was finishing school later than usual people, I would have to come back home by metro. So, and also, like, maybe that sounds easy, but for a 15 years old child going back home and coming from countryside, it was like the experience was very big, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is really similar to Germany. Like, there's small towns and villages, and if they go to the first time to Berlin and take the metro there, it's like big city Berlin, super crazy, super scary also for the parents who leave the kids there alone. So also that your parents let you go at the age of 15 to go to the big city to follow your dream, that's pretty cool of them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I was just so passionate about it. I remember being there and thinking, wow, this is the beginning of my dream. This is so amazing. I've been dreaming of that since the first time I saw Cirque du Soleil. So not so long, but still it became, in a very short amount of time, my biggest dream. And just to step into it was huge. And yeah, it was beautiful. And also I would mix school with circus every day. So one day I would start with school, schooling until noon. And then the rest of the day until 6, I would be doing circus. And the next day would be the opposite. You start with circus and the other half of the day would be school. And it would change like this every day. And so, I mean, it's very special. Also, it's like every day is different. You're always doing sport. You are discovering what the art field of circus is. And I mean, it's a huge dream. And also this sewer with who I was living, she worked at Cirque du Soleil. She was telling me about it. And she she would follow, like, what do I like the most? What are the shows I like the most? And I told her what my favorite act was. And then she would tell me, oh, I know who's the artist and his costume. And he comes from Russia and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, this is like getting all the insights. And it was like, I was like, it was a dream. It was crazy. It was good.
So cool. At that time, did you already have a discipline, or were you just training everything?
I was training everything, and but I knew, like, aerials was my favorite thing, and school would make us do everything. And so the scariest, I think, was the trapeze, swinging trapeze. We all had to do it, and I mean, it might seem easy, and especially when you watch it from the ground, I mean, you see the person is high, and you see the person swing, and everything seems fine. But once you step one time in your life on a swinging trapeze, and someone from the ground, your teacher, asks you, go, come on, swing. And then you're like, oh my God, this is like the craziest, scariest thing I've ever done. I think you've done it too, right?
I did it too. We had to do like two sessions. It was at the very beginning, like the first 2 weeks. And it was kind of like to try out if we were scared or not so scared. I wish I had more time. I had the feeling like, yes, I was definitely scared. But you know that you're attached. You know that nothing can really happen. It's more like for your mind. But I saw other people doing like cool tricks. And I kind of wanted to try harder stuff. And they were kind of like just the simple, like just from standing to sitting and then standing back up. And they were really making sure that you have like the proper technique and you're doing it exactly in the right moment with like the up. And I was like, no, I want to like try ankle hook. Like I wanted to try it. Really? But I never had a chance to. Yeah.
My teacher was like, come on, swing higher, higher. I was like, well, man, I'm swinging so high already. It's like, it's so scary.
You did 2 years of aerials, a little bit of swing trapeze, a little bit of everything. When was the moment that you discovered the sea wheel?
All right. So as I said, I really liked aerials. My first favorite aerial was the silk when I was younger. Then I wondered, like, what would I do? And then I thought straps would fit me best. And so I started to do straps, and I had a teacher who was very creative, imaginative, and he proposed that I would mix the straps with an aerial rope. And so I started doing that, and as we were exploring new movement, because it was a new apparatus, which also never existed after. And there was this one afternoon when we were training something and he wanted me to try something. I did it. And actually, I fell from the rope and I twisted my leg. And so my leg was really badly twisted. My without going into details, but I had to untwist my leg with my two hands. I did it very quickly because it was just so painful. And then, I mean, there was ambulance and I went to the hospital. And then I was for, I think, 6 months walking with two branch, with two cans. And then during that time, I thought, well, I just cannot go back and do this apparatus right away. And so as I was getting better and better, it was a hard time, of course. But I restarted doing just the basic straps, and then I had a problem. I just twisted my back a little bit, and then I had to stop again. And then I was like, man, like it's just getting all these injuries right away. It's really not fun. And at the time, I was living with this girl. Her name is Angelica. And we were roommates, and Angelica was one of the first girls who was doing sea wheel. There was also Valérie Inerci, but I didn't know her at the time. And Angelica Bongiovanni, so we were living together, and she said, Francis, why don't you try the sea wheel? And I thought to myself, well, like, I don't like sea wheel. And the first time I saw this circus show, the Corteo, I remember I've seen the sea wheel, and I was there with my family, and my one person of my family said, my God, the sea wheel was the best act of the show. And I remember thinking, well, I thought it was the most boring act. And so yet there I was trying to find a discipline, a smooth one, because I had to do something more relaxed for my body and I couldn't do aerials right away. So Angelica was like, give it a try at least. So I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And then I sticked with it. So that's how I got into the serial. But I have to admit, it's not because I like the serial.
I think that's okay. As long as you do something that other people like watching, I think that's totally fine. Actually, now that you tell the story again with your knee, I remember when we were training together, or when we met for the first time, because Francis is 1 year ahead of me. So when he did the National Circus School auditions, the big auditions to get into the DEC program, like the program that you do after school, he did that a year before me, although he is 1 year younger than me. This is just because like high school program situation and school system situation. So I was 19 when I did the auditions, and I guess you were then 17 when you did the auditions. But when we started training together, you still had your knee protector thing, like you had like a thing.
That's right. I remember that, like RoboCop. You're right. Yeah, I remember now.
Because my question is, did you do the auditions after you were injured or before? And how did you do? What was the act you auditioned with? Was it steel wheel already, or was it still rope straps?
No. So, you know, I did the school 2 years in high school, then the 3 years in the main program, same as you. And I, when there was the audition for that, I was still injured. And so I couldn't do it. And actually what happened is that the school, because they knew me, they knew I was working very hard and I was giving it all the time, except when injured. And even injured, I was going to the gym as much as I could and everything. And so what they did is that they did a special audition for me after the main audition for everybody. So during the audition where everyone came, I was there to do the acting and to do chin-ups, stuff like that, like basic things I could do. But that was not my audition. And so then everyone received their answers, everyone that was at the school, and I saw that. Everyone was like, oh, I got accepted, I'm here, and blah, blah. And I was like, well, I have no idea. I didn't do my full audition yet. And then there was a decision that was taken. I think I tried hand-to-hand because the school thought that I could be a good porter. So I did some hand-to-hand. I met with some girls, and also I was rethinking, like, do I want to do duo? Do I not want to do duo? And actually, I remember I sat down at some point and I thought, because I had the option to do it, and I thought, well, would I do it? And you know, this is very interesting. This is like a very nice thing, is that I remember thinking I rather do solo because I just feel like you do whatever you want to do. You're with yourself and you decide what you want to create. And I thought like I could do duo, but I just don't know someone that I like enough to do duo with. And I thought like maybe if I meet someone, but like this is not something I want to do with anybody. And unless I would really like someone, I don't want to do duo.
So now you're doing duo with me.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you that?
I remember that you never wanted to do hand-to-hand because you didn't want to be like dependent on another person. Okay. I don't know if there was like this thing of like you only would do it if you really liked the person. I thought it was more like a no. And then when we started, because we will get into this a little later, but when we started, it was mostly for fun. It wasn't, at the beginning, we didn't think like this is going to be our career. It kind of just developed into it. We started as friends and like just tried it out. So I guess when you took the decision to do the duo, it was also a professional decision because it was like, oh, this has potential to be something new. But no, I think I never...
Well, the decision was, we really started with friendship. Like, yeah. Because what I'm just mentioning now is that on my audition, personal one, I still had to do a form in which you had to precise which discipline do you want to do Absolutely. Like you had to make a choice. You couldn't just leave it like open. And I had to make a choice because I've tried some hand to hand and they were ready to mix me with someone. And I was like, all right, am I stepping into duo or not? And I really had to make the choice. And I remember I was at school. I was in the cafeteria. I was in the corner table late at night. Everyone had left and I had to finish my form for that day. And one of my friends came to me and was like, Francis, what are you still doing? And I was like, I need to take this decision. Am I going to do duo or not? And then I explained the thing. And then I was like, well, I'm going to do solo because I don't know who I would do duo with that I really like.
Wow, no, I didn't know that. Yeah, that is really sweet. Let's jump into the moment where you have been now to school, to the actual school for 1 year. I guess like your knee injury slowly is getting better. You're starting to do solo sea wheel. You're learning from zero. I mean, you've never touched a wheel before in your life. And when I arrived, which was a year later, when I did my circus school auditions, there was no Francis around. Francis, the first time I saw you was when I had my first sea wheel class. Because also, I'm not really sure if people are familiar with this, but when I got accepted into circus school, I was not accepted in sea wheel. I was accepted in Chinese pole. And I did 2 weeks of Chinese pole and I really did not like it. And then I asked to switch to sea wheel because I thought it was so pretty. So contrary to you, who didn't like
it. I didn't like the sea wheel at all. And you know, even worse, when I started doing it, I thought, wow, I'm getting so dizzy. Like, it's not fun. Not fun at all.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you had fun when you started it.
Yes.
You did.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I just remember being so dizzy, like feeling like vomiting all the time. Really?
I really liked it. For me, it was really, I saw it and I thought it was really pretty. It was also seeing Angelica. She gave a bit, she was a big influence, but also Alex Lane. And at that time, there were people, like at that time, Sibriel was really new. Like Sibriel, there was hardly anybody doing it. There was hardly any women doing it. And I tried it and I was really like, oh, I wanna get it. Like it was like taking, like learning how to waltz, learning how to make it move and never stop. That's like the first challenge. And it takes quite a while to get that. And then for me, it was really a challenge and I couldn't stop and I wanted to do it until I got the waltzing. So I think this is why.
I was like, when is this class over? I wanted the class to get to the end, you know?
God, such a different experience. So I think the reason why they let me change disciplines was also because Eric Deschenes, who was both of our coaches in the circus school, he saw that in me. I think he saw the potential and the drive that I wanted to learn it. So I think he put in a good word that I could change disciplines, because it's quite rare that you get accepted into one discipline and then they let you change after. Because usually they see your potential at the auditions. They really make sure like, okay, you have a body type for this. You're really strong in this. They want to make sure that you have something you can get really, really good at. And in sea wheel, everybody was still starting from zero then, so there was still kind of time to learn it. So they let me change, and then I was starting to have classes. And in some of the classes, we were like two or three students, and Francis was one of the students. And I remember that he was somewhere in the back. He was already like working on like harder tricks. I mean, he was already 1 year in front of me, so obviously the tricks were harder. You had your knee RoboCop thing. And you were quite shy and you also didn't speak English so well. And you were quite shy and you were somewhere in the back. And one like really vivid memory I have is that I was learning to waltz and then I was learning like one leg and like it took forever. And then I was learning to take one hand off. And I was trying to take one hand off the wheel and it was impossible to take the hand off. And I took it like a centimeter off and had to grab it and again. And then I look over and Francis is doing like these big, they call it flower pickers, where he touches the floor and touches the fly out with one arm. And I'm just like, oh my God, like this guy, he is so good.
All these flowers he's picking with his flower picker.
So like he was, I think maybe I was also a little bit intimidated because you were shy. You were like not speaking so much. You were kind of in the back and you were really good. So I was also, because also for me, arriving at the circus school, I was one of the only people who had never really done circus before. Like I have like a gymnastics background, aerobic gymnastics, but there were disciplines I'd never seen before. I had to learn so many things. It was all in French, and my French was okay at that time, but it was like school French. And same for you, like same as for you, I was 19 when I left, but I left Germany to go to another country, to do another language, to live with new people. And it was a great experience, like really similar, like arriving there and it's like arts and magic and everything is possible, but also a little bit overwhelming because you're there by yourself and you're meeting all these people and they're all so good. So I think there was also a little bit of this of like, okay, like I'm trying like my best here in my little corner where there's other people doing like this crazy stuff. And then I remember after like a couple of weeks, Eric was like, well, Lea, it's maybe you should consider buying your own wheel. Because the school had some wheels, but they were like not the proper size, not the proper weight. And he said, well, you should maybe talk to Francis and ask him where he got his wheel.
This is how we talked for the first time. Yeah.
This is how we met. So after one of the classes, I go up to Francis and I'm like, hey, Francis, so I want to buy a wheel.
You remember what this was?
In Dumineuf. This is how I remember it. It was okay. Studio Dumineuf, which is one of the studios, at the exit at the end of class.
Okay.
And I just waited for you and then I asked you and you were so nice. Mm-hmm. Like you were so nice. And the wheel we both had at that time was the original Daniel Sear wheel. So the inventor of the Sear wheel, mm-hmm. Daniel Sear, he was still making wheels at that time. So you gave me his number or his contact.
Exactly.
You remember also?
Yeah, I remember. But it's just so funny because I remember giving it to you at the entrance of the school. So that's why.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So anyway, yeah, maybe you asked me in the studio, then we...
When I remember it being in the entrance of 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. But also sometimes with old memories, like it fades a bit, like the entrance of here or there. But what I don't remember, so I really remember that. And then I contacted Daniel Sear and I bought my wheel and I brought like a couple of weeks later, the wheel was there. And I remember then after that, we became friends and we started doing things together. But what I don't remember is like the next conversation, you know, like after the first time we spoken, mm-hmm. What was the second time we spoke?
I remember from that moment on, we just opened like a friendly like a relationship. Yeah. Like it was just like saying, hi, hey, what's up before the class. And I remember thinking like, oh, this girl is just very nice because you came to me with such an sweet, like open heart, you were just very sweet and very... very gentle, très gentille. Oh. I remember liking you right away. I thought, oh, she's very, very nice. Yeah.
Wow, thank you. That's glad to hear. I had the thing because you were shy. But then when you were talking to me, you were not shy anymore. It was kind of like as if you had like your little world and then you would let some people into your world and some other people not so much. And I was like, I was allowed to be in. And then we started hanging out a lot one-on-one, which I really liked. So it was like we had a little bit of a friend group, like a smaller friend group around also, but we started doing a lot of stuff, just you and me. Like,
yeah, I remember like you said at some point, hey, let's do like a brunch sometime. And then we did some pancakes. We did a brunch at my place and we talked about everything. And we got to know each other quickly. Yeah.
I mean, also to like maybe give the full truth, was at the beginning, it was a little bit as if it was like a date. It was like, and this was more on my side, obviously, but it was more like, okay, like Francis is inviting you over. Like we were making like Pandore at your place and then we watched the movie. And it was like getting to know each other like on a date perspective. Maybe that was also why it was like one-on-one.
Yeah, I remember.
Francis was like, she had a crush on me for sure. And then we started going out. But then when it was obvious that it was not going to turn into more than that, it was also fine because it was still, like, I wouldn't say it was romantic, but it was like a platonic romantic relationship. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you became right away such a nice friend to me, like such a beautiful hearted person, like that was there in my life, that was sweet, that we were quickly discussing and talking about everything. And it just felt so natural right away.
Yeah. Even I remember like experiences, like for example, I mean, all of this time we were still young. And for me also arriving to Montreal was like my path of becoming a woman. Like before that I was a teenager and during those years I became a woman. And I remember like I did stuff for the first time. For example, one time I went to like a beauty salon to get my eyebrows waxed for the first time ever in my life. I don't know why I wanted to do it. I just wanted to do it and try it. And then she did, like I just was like, well, wax my eyebrows. And because it had been the first time I've ever done it, it felt like a bigger change. And then I was kind of unsure if it was good or not good. And I remember texting you and being like, hey, I just did a thing. And then you were like, well, come over and
we'll have a look at it.
And then you said like, oh, it looks good. It looks really nice.
You know what's so funny is that during those years, you were just so willing to try kind of anything, everything. What I remember the most is that time when there was like this hair convention, and you went there so that like you had like a hairdresser and he would decide what kind of hair he would make you. And he made you like such a, it was quite exotic. It was really something, but you had like to put it in a certain way. Otherwise it would look like a mess. Like it would look like trash. And the funny thing is that, of course, at circus school, like, yeah, your head is going every way, and especially with the cereal. And so you, like, it was very nice, but only if you wouldn't move. And so you would look like just so crazy and so funny at the same time for a very long time.
Yeah, that's true. Short, like really short hair. It was, they cut it so short in the back that they were even with the razor in the back. Yeah.
It was a little bit like Rihanna's haircut at the time, but longer on the in front, and one side was going to your jaw, the other side was staying like over the ear, and it was like, it was something, but all the time it was just such a mess, and you had like hair in your face and you couldn't attach them because it was too short. Anyway, it was really funny, and I have like a clear picture of you of that time for sure. It comes with a haircut.
Yeah, so that was exactly those times. And the fun thing of circus school is exactly that. It's like a time where we spend a lot of time creating, like learning tricks, but also creating. We had regular like presentations where we had to present acts, and like the whole school was presenting shows. So we are always constantly in this like, who are you? Who are you as an artist? Discover yourself, go and see shows. So it was really a place where a lot of people would do that, get like crazy haircuts, people starting getting tattoos, people were doing like all kinds of crazy stuff because you kind of had to try out and find out who you were.
Yeah. But also it's the age to do that. Yeah. We were young. We were at that age where it's like, come on, let's go try things. Right. And yeah.
And I even remember that. I was like, if ever I'm going to have short hair, it's now. It's now, because maybe later I have some kind of job where like now I couldn't cut my hair anymore. Like it wouldn't fit with our act. It would take away all the romantic part. So it's kind of like not really possible anymore. I mean, it's always possible, but it would just change a lot what the act would be like. So I think in circus school, it was the moment to do that.
It was a very epic haircut.
So then we became friends, and we then, and this was kind of quickly after becoming friends or during that time, we were like, hey, we should try spinning in the wheel together because we spin the same direction. We have pretty much the same size of wheel. Francis had a wheel that was just a little bit bigger than mine. And we were like,
I think you proposed it to me.
I proposed it?
Possible. Yeah, I think. And that's when I remember it was at the entrance of that studio you were talking about.
Oh,
anyways, yeah. I think you came to me. Or yeah.
It's very likely. I mean, I don't remember if it was like a conscious, like, it was for sure not a strategic thing. It wasn't we're going to make like an act and like,
we're going to become duo unity. No,
that's not what it happened. So it was basically, let's try to spin together. We had seen it in like shows, sometimes like in Corteo at the final big epic moment, the end of the act.
Yeah, there would be two people coming together in one wheel, but just spinning like a basic step and doing nothing else.
That was the big trick.
That's the only place where it existed. Where it
at that point, exactly. So we were like, let's try that. And actually, even the first tries of just spinning together was hard. Like the first times you could spin like 3-4 turns, 5 turns, it took quite a while.
It was very hard, but yeah, and that's why I think the only reason why we would have stick together, it was because we were having fun. Yeah.
Even then, you still had your RoboCop. I remember that. Really? Because sometimes the knee thing was kind of in the way because they were like together in the wheel and it was the knee and then you were hitting the knee.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And sometimes you would take it off because of that. And then your teachers came and were like, no, Francis, don't take the RoboCop off. What happened next was that we had fun. We were training and we realized that we could do like 1 or 2 moves. And we decided to make an act, the very first Duo Unity act, without having a name yet, without anything, which was for like for the internal. So inside the school, they had like a talent show where the artists could make acts for the artists themselves. So there were no teachers allowed. It wasn't for the outside at all. It was just us trying stuff out. And we decided, hey, let's make an act for this and let's see what we can come up with.
Yeah, we wanted to do something fun, and that's exactly what we did. Also, we were going out. We started to go out a little bit. We were going out in some clubs just to dance, to have fun on a Friday night. And this is how we found our name.
Yes. So there was this moment where we had already written our name on the paper. We decided we wanted to make this first show. And we were like, we need a name. We need a duo name.
We need a duo name. And then we went out and we were in Montreal. And we exited the metro and we were walking to this club. And as we were getting closer, I stopped Leah and I said, Leah, I said, look at this club. And it was called Club Unity. And this is a big secret of ours, but we were called after a Montreal club.
It was the place we would go together, and it was just the two of us going out.
Yeah.
And we saw the name and was like, oh, Unity, that's it. That it has personal memories. It was like a good time for both of us. But then we also realized, I mean, Unity means so many things, and it's exactly what you're doing. Like, yeah. Two people united in one wheel. Let's just use it. It sounds good.
But we didn't, like, it wasn't like a big talk about it at first. Like, all the ideas came after, but we saw it right away. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. Like, what do you think? Would you like that? Like, duo Unity. And this is why also people thought it was very funny at school, because we did like this talent show, this cabaret, it was called. And then we were like, we're called Duo Unity. And people were like, well, you cannot call yourself after a club in Montreal. But I mean, years after, like, no one knows.
This is where branding comes into place. This is also for everybody out there who is looking for names, who is unsure. At the end of the day, call yourself what you feel like, what you want, like, because after a while, the name becomes something completely different. Like, now nobody looks at us and is like, oh, yes, it's that Montreal club.
Yeah, right. And as you said, after we were thinking about it, and I mean, Unity exactly sounded like two people coming together, and it's poetic. It's nice.
It works until today. So we did that very first show, and we wanted to do something fun. We were in our fun times. And this video has disappeared from the internet. Maybe.
It will stay in the archives. I mean, we went crazy. We went for a very intense act. We had the best time. It was almost like a come out of doing this act, because it was very... Like, we were, I mean, not the loudest at school, and doing something so fun, so crazy, so imaginative, so colorful. I think many people were like, oh my God, like, what are these guys doing? And like, it was positive. People really liked it, but it was very intense.
Yeah, you're putting it actually really right, because in a place like that, in a circus school like that, you're around lots of really strong characters who all like to be the center of attention, who everybody is loud, everybody is like, look at me, and you have all of them in one room. And we were, obviously, like, we also like that, otherwise we wouldn't be doing all of this job now, but we were more on like the hardworking, driven, following the rules, we were being nice, we were not doing anything wrong, not doing any harm, so we weren't screaming really loud. And this was the first moment people actually were like, holy shit, like, they're doing something different. They're doing something new. They're out of their comfort zone. They're really going for it. And we created an act that was like a mix of dance, a little bit of like nightclubby. Then it was kind of intense relationship between you and me.
It was very sexy. It was like over the top sexy. Like, it was, I don't know how to say it, like, trying to use the right words, but it was like, yeah, next level sexy.
It's something you could still perform in one of those nightclubs late at night kind of vibe.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. And there were some choreographies. We had like a very nice music. We had a friend at school who was starting to do some DJ mixing. And we asked him, like, can you mix for us like this very popular new song? And he mixed it with some nice sounds. And it was very cool, actually.
Yeah.
And people really liked it. But it was so... it was very impressive. Like, even, like, like, even now, today, if we watch it, like, it's very... It's intense. It's so intense. Like, I've never seen something and circus acts that intense, you know?
If you're now talking about it so much and people not getting to see it, it's unfair. we will still think about it. We can still share it. Maybe that needs to be a special moment for that. But this was our start. And obviously it was intense and the artistic proposition, all of that was intense, but also technically we had shown stuff in the wheel that until then nobody had done before. And that was kind of also where people were taking it seriously, not as like, okay, they're getting out of their comfort zone, but also they're actually trying something new and they're developing a new circus apparatus. And because it had such a good feedback, we were like, okay, let's continue working on this and see where can we take this technically? What are other moves we can make?
And actually people were very surprised that you could do the same well together with, yeah. Because as you said, we had developed new movements and no one had ever seen that.
Exactly. And our challenge we had was that because the moves didn't exist, it was like, okay, trial and error. Like, what happens if I go on this side and you go on this side? What happens if I turn around? What happens if I put my leg here? And we tried.
And then some mornings we would arrive and be like, hey, I have this new idea and we try that tonight and blah, blah. And actually, because this was a personal project, how we started to train together was at night and during weekends. And we were just so driven. It was at once being with your best friend and also having fun developing something new and for a goal, a project. So we developed and a lot, and it was just us having some ideas of what do you want to do next, or do you think this would be possible, or let's try it out, and oh my god, so hard, and then fall on the floor, and then oh no, this works, and then keep working on it. And yeah,
exactly. And actually, in the middle of this, and I don't remember when that was, because we ended up having 2 years in school together. My first 2 years and your last 2 years, because there was at the end 1 year where I was still in school and you were already graduated, because we both graduated as soloists. There was one moment where we were like, okay, we could actually take this further. We could become an actual duo. And we even talked to the direction. We went to the school board and we asked them if we could change disciplines to work as a duo instead of soloists. And they did not like the idea, but there was a moment where we decided. So in the middle of this, there was a moment where we were like, okay, let's become an actual duo, which basically at that point just means we're going to create an act and we're going to build something that we could sell in the future.
And that also tells how much road we've made to yes. get there, because as I said, like, I was not open to the idea of doing duo, so
yeah. And then because it was so organic, it was like, okay, we started creating acts. In the meantime, or during that time also, Francis left school. He had a solo act. We had a lot of work to do. Like, you had to create a full solo act, which is, like, last year in school is super intense because there's so many eyes on you and you have to finish the school with a strong act that you can work with afterwards. And I remember last year in school is so much pressure. And you had to do that. And at the same time, we were working on our duo act at night, like basically every night, on the weekends, as you just said. And I remember one moment really specifically where we were always tired. It was so tiring because we were training so much, but we were still having fun. We were having like a little coffee. You were showing me what a vanille française is, and we were having like these sugary drinks at night, and we were both so tired. And there was one moment where you said, when I was in gymnastics, when I was younger, I was always also so tired. My muscles were always hurting. When you went to school, you had to go up the school building and like all these stairs to walk and your legs were tired. And he said, but I continued and I continued. And I know that if we continue, we're going to get really good. And it was kind of a strategy that you already knew, like just don't stop, just continue doing it. And somehow the way you said it, the way you put it, it just stuck until now. Even sometimes when I'm like working on my solo stuff and my competition routines, I have this voice of Francis in my mind who's like, just don't stop, just continue doing it and it's gonna be great.
Wow, this is so inspiring. I don't remember it, but so inspiring.
This was you. Yeah, so we were training a lot. And I remember, I just saw that people were asking now on Instagram like several questions about like who we are, how we are, and people were asking if we are both as driven or if one of us is more driven than the other. I think both of us are really driven. When you have a goal in mind, we really want to achieve it. And I think this is also what helped at the end, because training dual wheel it's tiring, but it's also we falling all the time. It was always like you're trying something and you fall on the floor and goes pa 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 pa, and you have to get up again. You have to do it again. It's really for the mind. You have to be really strong-minded to go through that, because it's not fun always.
Yeah, you're right. I think at first, at the beginning, because we were doing it for fun, we were still just going there. And I mean, we were even putting music at the beginning to warm up, and we were kind of dancing a little bit, and then, okay, getting to the wheel. And it was all surrounded by fun and good energy. So that really helped us with this drive. And then it became bigger and bigger and bigger. And I mean, the school asked us, like, I was finishing school and you were still in second year. And then they had gathered everybody for the end of year show. And then they told us, okay, so there's going to be like a main duo representing the show, because the show is going to be a wedding. And so the two people getting married, and then we thought, oh, which duo is going to get married of the third year? And then they said Léa and Francis. Yes. And I was like, oh my god. So we did this this show, and it was called pour le meilleur et pour le pire, so for the best and for the worst. That was the wedding, and definitely it was for the best.
Do we have the video of that show?
Yeah we do have it.
We have to
pause. I mean, I was doing like my solo, and at the end of my solo, they wanted just a piece of the duo. So we didn't do like a full act of the duo as we were able to do it at the time. But yeah, this is the first time we performed.
That was our first performances. I don't even know if we wrote those into the book as counting.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, of course. The first act we performed was the one at the cabaret, which we cannot show. But then there was this end of year shows, and yeah.
So this was a big moment, because usually when you are in second year, you will be used at the end of the year show just as like an extra part and like an accessory. But to have like a main focus act is kind of rare.
As an accessory. Well, as part of the group, yeah.
As part of the, yeah, part of like the, not the main act.
But like usually you would not be like the main character of the show. And yet you were the main character of the show with me.
Yeah. So we were bride and groom.
Yeah.
And we were that, and it was also really significant. Yes, thank you. Because from that moment on, people saw us not just in school, but also outside of school. And we also had, we became a duo, like we had the stamp of a duo.
We became a duo, and also people from the outside of the school, from the circus community, were for the first time surprised to see a duo serial, because it was not common. And even if one was to think of what can we do with the serial, the first thing wouldn't be to think of a duo, you know.
I think this is probably also the moment where we realized that, because there were people interested in that, we realized, okay, this could become a potential act that could be shown to the world as like a new discipline, a new thing. And where we thought, oh, maybe we could apply to do the Cirque de Demain Circus Festival eventually. The Cirque de Demain Circus Festival is like one of the biggest festivals that exists. Everybody who is at a circus school wants to perform there, because it's kind of like the Cirque de Demain means circus of tomorrow. It's for young people, bringing something new to the circus world. And it's a huge place to be seen. So all the bookers and casting agents from all over Europe, but also a little bit more internationally, they come and watch that festival. It's also shown on TV, and it's like a big goal for every young artist. And we were thinking, well, maybe we could present our act, our duo act, at that festival. So then this was during probably my last year of school, when you were already out of school, we started working on the act. We were like, okay, let's make an act that we can actually sell, and which is going to be the final act.
Yes, and talking about the drive, that's where we had the biggest drive. We were like, we're going to do it, but we're going to do it the best we can and the biggest. And so at the time, it was not common to create a music. And we thought, okay, we want to have this music created for our act. We want to have costume made. We want everything. And, you know, even when you finish school, you, like most people, would just buy clothes, or they would use or find a music that exists. But we were very driven just to think, or just to want to go next level in the creation. And then we found a composer. We would go and see her, and we would like get into the steps of having it created. Like, we were changing things and discussing about it. We were also working with an artistic counselor, telling us how to play better our piece, like how to change maybe a little bit of choreography. And we did like big steps that usually you would not do.
What also really helped was that at that time you were already starting to work. So you already saw a little bit what the working market was and what was working and what was not working. Because what happens very often when people are in school, they only see the school and they create stuff that is not that easy to sell. And you saw, like, for example, like really simple example, but to add like a little Swarovskis on the costume to make them a little bit more bling so that they take the light a bit better is something that in circus school nobody would do. But on the market, people do. And so you were really being like, hey, why don't we like do something that sells well, that's really classic? Like, let's not try to go overly contemporary. It's you and me. We're basing the story on us, on our relationship, on our also kind of at the beginning, kind of dating, falling in love, but more like a platonic love than also getting married. Like the whole romantic vibe was something that fits us really well. So we decided, let's stay in that. Let's make something really classic where I'm in white, you're in blue or gray, like just like getting married, making a romantic act and something that people can relate to. And this is basically how it started, that we created the very first version of our act, which was the version we showed at Cirque de Demain in 2015. So this was like 9 months after I graduated school and like a year and a half after you graduated school. And actually the performance in Cirque de Demain was kind of like our 20th show, or maybe 25th show in front of an audience ever.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, getting there, we were driven by all of these steps. The first step was to film, have our act filmed with the costumes, with the music, with the right choreography to send it to the Festival Mondial, the Cirque de Demain here in Paris. And so we wanted to have the perfect video. And so we trained and we trained and we trained and we did. We were giving it all. And then we had the perfect video. We send it. And then we got the answer, yes, you're accepted. We want you. It's a duo. We've never seen that. It's new. And then we were like, oh my God, okay, but we got to get ready because we've performed it like what, for this cabaret and then for the end of year show at school. But that's it. And so, as you said, we had it performed maybe 20 times, something like that. And then that's why we had to train so much. And you were touring with the Cirque Loise and I was doing solo contracts. And then we had to find time when I came and I joined you on your tour in France and in Luxembourg so that we could train the duo and get ready for the Festival Mondial that was coming up.
Crazy. Like, also, it's so nice to just think back of all the stuff we've done in the past because we've put in so much work into this act and we've done that also consistently over the years afterwards as well. But it has always been so clear. We were so focused, we were so driven, and we would take like these huge trips. Like,
yeah, we were giving everything. We wanted everything to be so perfect. And so that's why we were training so much. We wanted to make sure everything was perfect. And, you know, at the end of your tour with Cirque Loise, you were finishing for a moment and then we would have time to go and perform for the Festival Mondial. And so you were finishing in Brest in France and we rented a car. We took our cereal and we drove all the way to Paris to go try out the floor they had at the Cirque Phoenix where we were going to perform for the Festival Mondial, just because we wanted to make sure what was going to be the texture and how we were going to have to adapt. And then we drove back to Ulm, to Germany, with that car to go train with your like home. Yeah. And I mean, just that drive, having to drive from Brest to Ulm, I mean, with that project as the main motor of
Yeah, and one of the fears we had was that the Cirque Phoenix, so where this festival takes place, is a really big stage and a really big tent, and there's a lot of lights, like tons of projectors of lights. And because we hadn't had a lot of experience in duo, we were really afraid to get lost because we were spinning all the time in these sequences. And what can happen if you don't have a lot of experience is that you just don't know where you are. You get out of the wheel in the wrong place of the stage. And then because we're two people, if one person gets out in the wrong place and then is in the wrong place of the stage, the choreography all gets mixed up and it's like a big issue. So we wanted to see the stage to see how it actually is. Like, we actually went on stage to kind of have like the feeling of like, okay, how is this? And then we realized, well, maybe we need some kind of guidance to make sure that we know where the front is. So this was actually your idea where you're like, why don't we buy an LED strip of light that we attach in front of the stage, just so that we have a strip that we can see on every rotation and that we know this is where the front is. Like, we went down to all of these details. So
yeah, but they were necessary. I mean, picture this. We had just little experience. We were new in our field of discipline of duo say will, but still spinning together, doing all of the movement had to take all of our concentration. And then if you would have even on top of that, to think of where am I in space and where do I exit the wheel so that I'm in the right spot for the choreography. It was just so much. And also at the Festival Mondial, this tent is so huge that the audience is very far. There is just a big dark, like you don't see anything. There are like those big spotlights in your eyes. You see nothing. And then it was just so much. Like we needed that strip of light and we had it, and still it was very difficult to get to know where we were.
And it was also like probably the most nerve-wracking performance we've ever done. I think even now that we've done like Monte Carlo, where we were also nervous, I think we were way more nervous for Cirque de Mayo. It was mainly because we didn't have a lot of experience. So we had everything organized and planned, but obviously you still have to perform the act. We hadn't done it very often. I remember even the night before it had rained and there was like a tiny hole in the top of the tent and there was like a little bit of water on stage. It was really not so much. I think even now it would probably not like be that big of a problem. But at that time, when everything was so unsure, like just adding another unsureness.
Adding water on the stage, like what more can you
have? Exactly. How can you make it even harder? So even now, if you watch the videos, like for us, it's really funny to watch those videos of that performance because we were so nervous. And also the act is, you can see now with experience that it is like some movements we had to correct. We had to get back into the wheel because the wheel has a certain timing and we have to be really using it together, like really knowing what the other person is going to do so that you can adapt to that. And in this act, it was basically fighting for the act, the presence, to be there, to do, give it our best, to also, it was hard, like it was a hard act to perform. So also just having the cardio for it and being ready to like do it until the very end, knowing that there's cameras that are going to do close-ups on your face. So if you're like not acting well, you can see that. So now if you watch it, you can definitely tell that we were nervous. But at that time, it was a huge success because nobody had ever done that.
And I think for the experience we had, also, wow, like incredible. Being able to do that,
yeah,
it was very stressful. Yeah. And I think we did great for what we've trained and the level at which we were.
Exactly. We were super proud of having made it. We had also a lot of people, like we made a lot of contacts. We won a bronze medal, which was incredible. Like that's a big achievement to have a medal at Cirque de Mayo. That's what a lot of artists want. And for us, it was mainly, as always, it's like you're trying your best and you're performing there and you never know what the outcome is going to be because the outcome is for other people to choose for you. But to get a medal means that you have a medal at Cirque de Mayo, which gives you like a certain stamp from the outside, which is really nice. And we won the Moulin Rouge prize. So, which means that the owner of the Moulin Rouge saw us performing there, saw our act and was like, oh, I would really like to have this act in my show, and invited us after the festival to come watch the show and to come try out the floor to see if it would fit into this.
So not too bad for a 20th performance.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end, all of this effort really paid off, even though we had hardly any experience. And we had, so this was basically the moment where like the duo was born for real. Because at that point we had a video, a nice video from before. We had costumes, we had original music. We had now the stamp of having done Cirque de Mayo.
We had a name.
Duo Unity, that we still have today. We have had a homepage. At that time, it was really important to have a homepage. And that's when we started.
Business cards, paper yes. Business cards.
Yeah. I still have some of those original paper business paper cards and all of them. Yes, exactly. We were so prepared for the whole thing and for our career to launch, basically. And from then on, I was still finishing off my last solo contract, like the Cirque Loise one that I was finishing like that summer. But then it was kind of like clear that we would perform as a duo. And we did lots of other festivals after. We started working at the Moulin Rouge in Paris. We really started to do everything as a duo, basically.
Exactly. And the first contract we had from after this festival was a tour in the Netherlands. And we were living in Amsterdam for 6 months and going everywhere around by bus in all the theaters. And I mean, that was a great, beautiful beginning for a duo and a very fun experience to have.
We had then also, like in the first years, we went to Dubai, we went to Las Vegas, we went to Japan. Like there were a lot of really exotic places we had the chance to go to. We did the Trans-Siberian train.
Exactly, because we were performing in Paris, then we were doing this festival in Russia. And then I thought, hey, because I mean, at that point we were living our best life together, and we had it was just being two good friends together. And so we thought, hey, let's do the Trans-Siberian. So living from Russia to all the way to the Mount Everest in Tibet.
We've done a lot of things. Actually, the thing is, because we are friends first, before all of the business, before the performance, before all of that, we are friends. We still, until today, do things as friends. And I think this is something that's really rare for duos, because most people that work in duo are either couples or kind of like working arrangements. Like they work together, but they're not necessarily friends first. And this is something really special we have. And this is why also it has been working so well, because now it has been over 10 years we've been performing together. We have celebrated our 2,000 shows together, which is a crazy amount of shows. This is because Francis has been really good at taking note in the little book and make sure that every little show is counted. Because, yeah, it's a huge achievement so far. But as I said, when we did the 2,000, I was like, well, like, I'm sure we're going to do 3,000 too. Like, maybe it's going to take longer than the first 2,000, but I totally see this act still staying around. Like, it still works. It's still fun to perform. It's still fun to do. Our bodies are holding up really good. And I would really love to one day do like the retirement version of it, of like having a couple that's not like young love falling in love, but like people who have known each other for such a long time and have trust in each other, and like doing this act when we're like 65 years old. I just see it being like magical.
I agree.
Well, so this episode was supposed to be like the whole, like, how did Francis get into circus and then our story. I feel this has probably been already more than an hour, but we don't have time for all of the questions. So I have the feeling we have to do a second, which is like just a Q&A with Léa and Francis. But so we're definitely going to do that. But I just would like to get back into a little bit more of Francis and Francis's story after this whole duo unity, and to kind of finish off like your path. Because during the pandemic, you had like time to learn something completely different, and you decided to become a nurse. What's like, how has that been? And like, how is this something that's still important to you now? Has this been a little path? Because I know that a lot of people have been asking how like kind of that is going. And yeah, what was that experience?
Well, I went back to school for 3 years, so I became a nurse. This was an idea I had since a very long time. And actually, I remember this first brunch we were talking about, we did at my place. This is something we talked about right away at first. I was telling you how helping others, working in healthcare was a second dream of mine. And that was making me unsure about the circus path, and I wondered if maybe I was better to go off in that other direction, which at the end I'm very glad I stayed in the art field. But the pandemic came so quickly, and I mean we all lived it, and for me my reaction was to think, okay, well, we had many contracts that were coming up, and for most of them they were all abroad internationally. And it wasn't a question of companies saying, we don't want to hire you. It was a question of national places. Like I remember Kuwait, we were supposed to go and work in Kuwait. And the company for which we were supposed to work, they said, like, it's not that we have a big problem. It's not that we don't want you to come. It's that the country is shutting down. And it was one of the first countries to shut down. And they said, like, we cannot bring you. We cannot have foreigners coming to the country. And they were trying to figure out everything. And so just seeing this and many other contracts we were supposed to do were being turned down because of that. And so I thought, at some point I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do something. And I quickly jumped into this idea of, all right, just try to go back to school for, I mean, this amount of time that it's going to be. And I'm going to go for nursing. This is another dream I had since a long time. And I did it. So, yeah, it was, to be very honest, it was very hard. Because, I mean, when you've been working for a long time, you've been working as in the physical with your body, so in a physical way, and going back to school to really just study mentally, to have to remember many, many things. It's just so different, and it was a big challenge. It was a big challenge, but I'm glad I did it, and I went through it, and now I'm a nurse, so I have this such a other job that I can do whenever I need it.
So it's kind of like a safety net that you have that's there. If ever you go back to Canada, if for some reason life changes, you always have that option.
Exactly. And you know, that was like when we were doing that brunch, to come back to this first brunch we had, you know, I was telling you to work internationally and to go help people in countries where they need some medical care and all of that. That was something that was very close to my heart, and I remember telling you about it, and I know you remember too, right?
Of course.
And so, I mean, there was no surprise that I would just quickly jump and go into that, because I already had a backup idea of what I wanted to do. But also it made me realize, because after I work, as I was studying, I was working at the hospital, and I was lucky enough also, because I was good at school, I was lucky to get accepted in, you could go work in many departments as you were studying, and I was accepted to go at the emergency, in the emergency department, which is more intense, and so you need to be quite quick and good in what you're supposed to do. So I worked at the emergency room for a year, and after my studies I worked in the birth department. So being with the family, with the mother when giving birth, and all of that. So I'm specialized in those two fields, and it was beautiful time to appreciate another aspect of life, and to realize that we all have many capacities and we can do many things. And I think what's the most important is to be driven by your passion, to really find joy in life. This is important. And as much as I realize, yeah, it's part of me being caregiver, taking care of others, like, it's part of me, but also I also like to share my passion for art, and
So once you finished your studies, you did your studies, and then you were working for a bit, and then we came back to the Moulin Rouge in Paris, because we've been now at the Moulin Rouge in Paris, we've been here for over 10 years on and off. There was one time we did 2 years back to back, which was like the longest time here. And then also the last 3 years, we've done 6 months, always the first 6 months of the year. So we've spent a lot of time here, and now we're finishing off this contract, and we have not planned on signing a new one. Like, there's no new contract in the future to come back, so it's kind of also like a little bit of an end of a chapter, of a bigger chapter in our lives. But you have in the meantime kind of figured out that you really like the arts, that you still like performing, that this is something that's probably a little closer to you than maybe the nurse side. Now I know that there's a very secret project that some people have heard in the internets, and I was wondering if you wanted to share just a tiny little bit where you think your path is going to go in the next like 5 years or so.
5 years is a long time, but definitely there is this big new project coming up. When you are in circus arts, you want to recreate yourself, you want to be able to have a a good idea. And what made it good for us as a duo was that the duo Cyril did not exist at the time, and still today, like, you need to be good in solo, you need to find the right partner, spin the right side, and it's very rare. And so being rare in circus is what most of the time makes you work well, because you are unique and people want that. And so yes, there is this new project coming up. It's something completely new. It's a new, to say a little bit of what it is. It's a new apparatus that do not exist in circus. So it's something completely original, and I'm just very happy to have had this idea. And I had to think about it, try it, construct it in 3Ds, and then to do some tryouts with people that can build it. And it's a process, so right away already I'm telling a lot, but so this is what's happening right now. I'm creating a new apparatus, and knowing at this age right now where we are at in our career what the circus industry is looking for and what we are seeking as an audience, I think it's going to work well, but it has to stay a secret for a while, for a moment, because once you launch it, it's going to become more popular. People will know about it, and you just want to present it in the right way.
Yes, I think you're doing it super smart, and I have no doubt that it's going to be a big success. I'm really excited, and I also love that now there's this audience who is kind of already like interested and intrigued, because when we started our launch of our duo career, we kind of needed the festival, the Cirque de Dema festival, to be seen. Like, we were nobodies from a big circus school, yes, but like nobody in Europe had ever seen us, and you kind of need this push so that people see you. Whereas now we've had a really nice career, and we've been really lucky to have the chance to perform in a different, like in different circuses, different places, different festivals, so people know us, and people also know us from social media and follow us. So now I feel when you're going to launch your new thing, it would be obviously amazing to also present it at circus festivals, and I think this is also going to happen. What is great is that once you have the finished act and the video and the music and all of that, you can put it out there online, and it might have a similar effect than when we did the Cirque de Dema 2015.
Well, hopefully, I hope so. This is the goal. And actually, it's funny because just talking about it now and talking about what we've went through and what we've created, it just reminds me of this drive we had, and this drive that is still on, and that is exactly what brings to life projects or dreams that you have. And I think the more you work hard into something you think is going to work, or something you really truly want, it's really the amount of work and of passion you're going to put into it that is going to create it. And you just got to go for it. And it's funny because also seeing who we are now today, I mean, we know each other. You as a person are a very driven person. You go for all of your projects, you work hard, you give it all. And me also, me too. But I don't know. I see it from your side, because if I look at you, and it's just a good reminder to think and to.
Knowledge. But it's interesting, because what you see in me, I see the same in you. Like, when you see yourself, you always think, oh, I could do more, I could do better, you're questioning more. But when you see the other person, you're like, oh my God, they're so driven. And like, for me, it was like, you were always a really inspiring force even then, because you always knew so exactly what you wanted. And for me, it was easier that time to just follow and just like, yes, I'm along for the ride, I'm going to put everything in it. But I liked having you as like guiding force. And I still see that in all the stuff that you're doing now, is that you know exactly what you want to do, and you're really doing it, and you're putting the work in. And maybe you don't see it because you've been doing it for such a long time. But you, like, what you see in me is the same that you have as well.
That's very nice. The duo that sees in each other as well. they also have.
It's the duo unity.
It's duo unity. Yes. This is very sweet.
Yes. Well, Francis, thank you so much for having been here. I think this is like a great episode. I'm already happy to just listen back to it because it's like so nice to go back in time. I think it's so special to have had all of this stuff together. Like I always say, our relationship has been longer than any like romantic relationship we've had. Even like I have a brother and we're really close, but I don't get to see him every day. Like I get to see you, and to have something so special is so nice. And I really wanted to continue forever.
Well, me too. And I mean, we have a very special and beautiful relationship. So thank you for being there. Thank you for being my work and life partner. So, I mean, yeah, you're a very so precious friend to me, and I love you very much.
I love you too. Ah, this is such a healing and nice experience. So obviously, Francis is going to be back. We need to answer some more questions. If you have questions that you want to ask Francis directly, you can also send them in via Circus Hotline voice message, because this is called the Circus Hotline because people can call in and ask questions. You have to ask the questions in English, please, and we're going to
please. Or in French.
That's also possible. French is also very accepted. And then I will see you probably next week for another solo episode, and we're going to see when we're going to add this special Francis episode. Also, please let us know how you liked it, and if you liked how Francis was speaking, because I was pretty impressed by your speaking capacity. Like, you're really good at talking. Like, like this is not something so natural for so many people. So if you like this, I'm going to link Francis's Instagram down in the description, and you can send him a little DM on his Instagram, and I'm really sure he's going to really like that.
Nice. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. See you next week.